The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "And I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have told you this in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you clearly about the Father. On that day you will ask in my name, and I do not tell you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have come to believe that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Now I am leaving the world and I am going back to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. We'll stay with the Acts of the Apostles. So I've kind of talked about that, and it will go on, by the way, until Pentecost, which is another week. Today, there's a certain tension in the church of Ephesus. Now, Ephesus, some of you have been to Ephesus, an extraordinary place. I mean, the remembrances they have of Pauline times are amazing at Ephesus. And this fellow named Apollos appears today. He's a Jew from Alexandria in Egypt. Alexandria in Egypt was considered a center of advanced learning in the time of Paul. So he's coming from a place where learning and the life of study was very advanced. And this fellow, obviously highly educated fellow, Apollos from Alexandria. Alexandria actually had a very strong Jewish community. They were a diaspora community. And if you go to Alexandria today, they will actually show you the house of the Holy Family, the house where they lived during the exile, you know, when they went down into Egypt and they came back out of Egypt. It sounds nice, but they'll show you the house anyway. What's interesting about this Apollos fellow is that he will appear many other times in the life of Paul. He's preaching with a great sense of direction and information. It says he is very familiar with the scriptures and with Jesus. Obviously, the scriptures he's speaking about are the Old Testament. And this is a statement that he sees in Jesus Christ the fulfillment of all the prophecies in the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament yet. But he's a Jew that is well-versed in the Hebrew scriptures, and he sees Jesus as the fulfillment of all that was foretold in the Old Testament. And he preaches with a great sense of conviction here. And Aquila and Priscilla, well, Priscilla is mentioned first, rather interestingly, the woman is mentioned first. Priscilla and Aquila speak to him about his baptism, and he said, "No, I've just been baptized by John." And so they lead him on eventually to be baptized in the power of Jesus Christ. He'll appear many places, and in the first chapter of St. Paul's letter to Corinth, the very opening chapter, there appears to be a conflict between Paul and Apollos. Because in the church, and this was in Corinth now, in the church of Corinth, Apollos went there and he preached. And it appears that certain people were following Apollos and others were following Paul and others were following Cephas, Peter, and others were following Jesus. So there was a division in the church of Corinth, and Apollos was part of it. And Paul speaks about this in his letter to Corinth, and he says, there must be no division. We are all one in Jesus Christ. We are different. We are not looking for uniformity. We're looking for unity. Even though we are different, we are all one in Jesus Christ. So Apollos becomes a very prominent figure in the Pauline epistles. You'll find him in Titus. You'll find him in a number of epistles there. What this tells us in the present age is that we have conservatives, traditionalists, and we have contemporary people and futuristic people in the church who say, well, you don't qualify and you don't fit, and somehow in my understanding of the Gospels, there isn't a place for you. We have that even in the church today. And what we learn here from the Acts and from St. Paul's writings is that we are one in Jesus Christ. The strength of the Christian community is based on the sense of attachment to Jesus Christ. Now, when Apollos comes here to, in the book of Acts, he's in Ephesus, and while he's very learned, he's very well informed, he appears not to be rooted in Jesus Christ. He seems to be rooted in an intellectual understanding of Christ. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, but he doesn't appear to be attached by Christ. That's attested by the fact that he has the baptism of John, but not the baptism of Jesus Christ. Now, that's very important for us today in our church, in our communities, that somehow we have to have a center, a place that unites us, different, that each of us is different, but there's one place where we're united, and that's in Jesus Christ. We have to have what the Buddhists call the still point. It's the immovable center against which you measure everything else. If the center keeps moving, if Greenwich Mean Time keeps moving around, there will be chaos in measuring the time of the world. Greenwich Mean Time is set, immovable center. Everything else is measured against that. That's what Buddhists call the still point. Every one of us needs a still point in life. This is my center. These are my principles. These are my deep beliefs in Jesus Christ. Not opinions, not learning, but in the person of Jesus Christ. Wherever you have divisions, you have a certain kind of chaos, weakness. Now, I know, the contemporary example would be masks. I mean, now the CDC comes out and say, you don't have to wear masks outdoors. Oh, that's very nice, okay. And by the way, you don't have to wear masks indoors either, if you're socially distanced like you are. Oh, well, why are we wearing masks? Because the state of California, the county of Los Angeles, has said something different. They're saying, no, you should wear masks. So when you get masks or no masks, you get a certain kind of misunderstanding, because we're looking for a center. We're looking for the informed opinion which we will follow. So wherever you have this, now, what all this means to us is that the center is Jesus Christ, not canon law, not the voices of one side or the other in the church. The center is attachment to the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul preaches. If you go back and look at his letter to Corinth, he said, we are one in Jesus Christ. We think differently, we act differently, but we are rooted in Jesus Christ. And if that becomes the center, then all the other conflicts will be secondary. So it teaches us something about the church, maybe about our families, about our communities, that there is a center, we must find a center somewhere. And this center is the place of belonging. We'll be back to Acts again on Monday to see what the next teaching will be from the Acts of the Apostles. It's wonderful. It's an insight into the early church. And in a way, it's probably an insight into the church today. We pause now for a moment of prayer.